heater. So, impossible standards are good. And you should never, ever reach them. That's the way I look at this. Now, guys, you might have heard this before in my podcast. I've always been speaking about having standards. Now, if you've heard my motor racing Formula One podcasts, I have spoken that it always annoyed me when, and still does annoy me, when teams will celebrate a 10th or a 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. And it's good if you're a team that's struggling and you're trying to make it up the chain, up the ladder. Now, it's a good result for them, but the thing is, their overall goal would be to win the race and win a championship. Now, I've got a point here, guys, so just give me a little bit of rope on this one. And classic example of Ireland in the Rugby World, in the Six Nations Rugby just recently. And let me tell you why standards are really good. I think they're awesome to have. And it's probably going to just be a very short, quick one here today, but I hope I get my message across, because I hope I'm trying to make my point of what I've been saying in some of my other podcasts. So for instance, you see a lot of teams in Formula One, they have a second, third, fourth, right? And they finish, and because they don't get that type of result normally, they're delighted for themselves. And I do think you should be delighted. It's progression. You're going in the right direction. The problem is when you start jumping up and down, spraying champagne on yourselves like you've just won the championship. Now that's a different scenario. Now, let me go back over to this in ties in with relationships as well, business, friendships, anything that you do. I think it's always fantastic to have not high standards, impossible standards. Here's why. And I can relate this to racing. Many of you, some of my overseas listeners, you may or may not have seen rugby before. Maybe you're a fan, maybe you're not. It doesn't matter, right? Because we're talking about the underlying issue here of sport and life in general. So for instance, rugby, Ireland has won the Six Nations Championship. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's basically the six teams in Europe, Irish rugby team, the English, Scottish, Welsh, French, and the Italian team. They all go together, one versus one, right? And then everybody competes against each other. Whoever comes out top wins the championship. Most points are most points with tries, etc. Now, you can go for they call it the Grand Slam. Now, this is where my point comes in. The Grand Slam basically means that you win every match. So for every team, you're up, there's six countries all together. So you've got five matches. Each team has five matches to play. Excuse me. So if you come out with the Grand Slam, well, you've just had the ultimate perfect season. Obviously, because you've beaten everybody. Now, the thing is, Ireland won the Grand Slam last year. Sorry, guys, I'm just going to clear my throat here. Excuse me. My apologies, guys. And Ireland won the Grand Slam. They won all their matches in 2023. And then we got to 2024. They've won the championship, but they did not win the Grand Slam. Now, I'm sitting in a bar with my buddies, right? And we're all enjoying the match. Now, before we get into this, I am not a rugby expert. I watch it. I'm a casual player of the game. I don't keep up every single week on the updates of news. I might jump in every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks, maybe, if even in the quiet seasons. So I'm not a huge fan, but I do know about having standards because I used to race in sports. And it's the same thing in all different categories of sport and just different lives, relationships and dating. And I'll tell you why. So the thing is, Ireland lost one game this year in 24. England beat them just by 1 point. It was it was brutal. But anyway, they beat them. Thing is, Ireland went on and played Scotland the week after, and Ireland beat Scotland. Therefore, it was the last round, and Ireland are now the Six Nations champions. And now, look, it's a good result. They still did the job. And here's what I really mean. Ireland had the chance to win the Grand Slam all matches this year again. It was like competing in motor racing. They had the best car, let's say. Okay, just a random example. If you have the best car, you better show up on the fucking day and produce the best fucking car and result the team can get. And I even remember me and my buddies, we were talking about the game afterwards. Everybody, a lot of people in the place were round of applause, cheering, yay! I didn't. I literally had my hands folded and went, okay, all right, that's fine. And then I was like, ah, they didn't win it, lads. And in fairness, I can understand too. My buddies went, ah, would you stop? Look, listen, come on. It is a tough championship. There's no doubt about it. And I went, I know. And look, it still is a good result. But the thing is, they had the potential to win the whole Grand Slam. And they blew it. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. They blew it. But here's where I'm actually forgiving on this. If they showed up, and I mean they had blood, sweat and tears out of them at the end of that game against England and every other game, and they really truly played 10 out of 10 and they still lost, then I'd be saying, well, hey, you know what? Good on you, Ireland. At least you put everything out there. Everything out there. But they didn't. They left the Grand Slam on the table. And all of a sudden now, we're all celebrating. We've won the Five Nations, this and that. Now, there is people actually out there online that are kind of annoyed that I am. But it's not good enough. Now, the thing is, if you put the effort in and you still lose, that's okay. Then I'm, like I said, I'm forgiving on that one. I'm very forgiving on that one. Because you gave it everything. Because it can happen where England, they win by 1 point. They arrive up on the day and it's like any other sport, right? Where you just are 100% in sync. You're in connection. You are in the zone like you've never been before. You've had the greatest game. You've had the greatest motor race of your life. Nothing could defeat you. And that can happen. But this Irish team didn't have everything. They made mistakes. And look, you know, if you're a rugby expert and you're listening to me, that's okay. That's okay. But I know about the standards and they had the chance to win the whole thing and they left it on the table. But this is the thing. It's okay too, because that's what happens. I just wouldn't be getting very carried away with the big result. But to me, in fact, it just came back to me here in my memory. It's kind of like, if anybody's seen the movie Casino, and if you remember Robert De Niro's the casino boss, and he gets this huge, like big whale tycoon guy, Chinese businessman, right? He's multi-billionaire. And the guy cleans out the casino. Then they try and rig the plane where there's, quote, there's something wrong with the plane. So then they have to redirect the plane back to Las Vegas, the casino, and then this is all on purpose, staged. So then they know that if they get him back for one night, he'll go gambling because the guy loves his gambling and the chances are he's going to lose it all again. And the thing is, De Niro's saying over this. Now, I know this is a movie, but this is mentality though, because a lot of movies are based on reality anyway. And the thing is, De Niro says he was betting small chips at the start. Now, maybe you all remember this, right? And then he's betting a little bit bigger. He's not betting his usual amount that he would, because he just cleaned the fucking casino out. Now, at this stage, well, almost cleaned the casino out. So then all of a sudden, De Niro says he knows that he's not going to bet small for long, because he doesn't look at it as winning 10,000 a hand that he'd win. You see, normally the guy's winning 100,000 a hand, whereas now, because he's betting small, he's only winning 10,000. And he said he knows guys like this guy won't bet 10 grand for long because he doesn't look at it as winning 10 grand. He looks at it as losing 90 grand. Now, you can call it a degenerate gambler or whatever you call it, but I see the method in this guy's madness. Now, I'm not a gambler, so I wouldn't be, okay? I wouldn't be approaching gambling like this, right? Okay, so, you know, but I'm not saying that. But the guy left something on the table. He left 90 grand on the table when he could have got it. And I've heard this type of mentality before from other people in different, in businesses, in fucking relationships, dating, you know? There's another, like, for instance, I even talk about this in my podcast there last year. Now, this is kind of a similar situation, but there's a bit of a difference too. There was this girl that I met. Now, I had no interest in her. She had no interest in me. But we were chatting about dating, and one of my friends said, oh, yeah, he does this dating stuff on TikTok and all this sort of thing. She's asking me about it and tell her about it. So I said, well, are you looking for a boyfriend? She, yeah, I'd love to find a man. I said, so what is it? Like, what are you looking for? She lists a huge, long list of things for the guy to have. Huge, long list. I mean, she might as well have taken out a fucking notebook, right, and had her little clipboard and ticked them off as she went. So I'm like, Jesus. I went, okay. So I said, are you going to be all in with him too? She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, if you want all this, you're asking for a lot. What are you going to give? And like, I get it, guys, right? Even for me, I've failed in some business stuff where you could say maybe failing or it just didn't work out or something was missing. But the point is, I'm trying my heart out. I'm doing everything I can. Am I a bit dumb in some areas? Maybe. Maybe. But sometimes we need a bit of help. But the thing is, this girl's looking at me like I've got 10 fucking heads. She's never heard this in her life before, but she won't offer what he's going to give her. Do you see the illogical horseshit in that? How insane that is? It's all about her. Like, if you really break that down, the level of fucking ego in that statement from her was unbelievable. And there's a lot of men and there's a lot of women out there like that. Crazy stuff. So where does this tie into this? Well, the point is this, you gotta be all in. So like the Irish team or a motor racer or a tennis player or whatever, golfer, you gotta be all in to get what you want. Now, the problem is I'm fearing that someone like Ireland now, the rugby team, because they've won the championship without giving it everything, they might now start getting lazier. See, this is my point. You have to have, and in closing, guys, whether it's relationships, business, dating, sport, I don't care. This, look, I'm no expert on all this. This is just my outlook on stuff, and this is the way I did try and approach my racing. Now, did I win all the time? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Did I make mistakes? Absolutely. But I felt, I always hope anyway, unless I'm delusional, but I always felt, even if I'm off my game, I always tried to give it everything anyway. The Irish team didn't give it everything because they could have won this. They could have won this, and they didn't. They absolutely didn't. So whether it's, you gotta be all in, and the other person's gotta be all in, you can't leave anything on the table. Anyway, I'm hoping this is an okay podcast, guys. I'm not trying to lecture anyone here, you know, not at all. I feel very passionate about this type of thing. And even with my friends last week, you know, they were looking at me like almost, oh, Jesus, what's he talking about? Fucking bullshit now here. Like, relax, man, Mr. They didn't say this, but you kind of looked at, like, their, they had this look like, oh, Mr. fucking, I don't know, God or something. Oh, who do you think you are? God? You know, it's kind of like, all right, chill out, man. Jesus, what's wrong with you? And the thing is with impossible standards, you will never get it. It's always that bait right in front of your nose. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can literally put your tongue on it, but you can never get it into your mouth. That's the way we always have to approach things. That's the way I look at it. You never get there, but you always work your bollocks off to get there. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Talk to you later.
Peter
Walsh.